So I don't know if you've noticed over the last, you may have probably seen over the last sort of 10, 15 years, banners, particularly on churches, that say simply the two words, try praying. And it's really, really good advice. And it really, I suppose, is it comes out of wonderful truths in the New Testament, like in James chapter 4, verse 8, that says, come close to God and God will come close to you. So if we engage in communication with God, then God in Christ will seek to come close to us. And so as we take that step, and really, as Acts of the Apostles that we heard read from today, a central theme running through the whole book is pray. Try praying. Because wonderful, supernatural things happen whenever we pray. Someone who knew this really well was a man called John Bateman. He was a member of our church family here for many years. He passed on to be in the closer presence of the Lord 8 years ago, and he was a wonderful man of Christian faith, and he was a teacher in Lurgan College for many decades, and he led the CU there. When we started the CU there, there weren't too many in it, and but he wanted to see the Christian Union grow. Because he knew, he loved the young people, and he knew that the only way for them to live their best life, life to the full, was to have this relationship with God and Jesus Christ. And so he did his utmost to, and prayed. And he was a great man of prayer, prayed that more and more people would come to faith in Jesus Christ. And one of the things he did as well was he went to the principal one time and said, would it be possible for there to be an interview of three of the boys from the first 15 of the rugby team and just ask them a bit about their Christian faith? The principal said, yes, that's no problem. And so this interview took place. I'm not sure whether it was John who conducted the interview or whether someone else did, but the three boys were interviewed. And John felt that they were so faltering in what they said and so incoherent in expressing their faith that he was deeply embarrassed. So much so that he went off after the assembly to a very quiet part of the school because he was so bitterly disappointed. He felt this was a golden opportunity, and he felt that it just hadn't been seized. But as he gathered himself in his disappointment and headed back into the part of the school where everyone else was, he realized that something had happened, that the Holy Spirit had come and was moving in the school. And among the teachers and pupils, there were people who were talking about sensing the power of God. And there were people who were asking questions about how do you become a Christian? And pupils and teachers were becoming Christians. And in the days ahead, many, many people came to faith in Christ, not just in the days ahead, but over the weeks, months, and years ahead. And the Christian Union in the school grew and grew and grew. And I imagine it really encouraged John to be a man of prayer. And by the time that I had the privilege of meeting him, to know the fact that he believed profoundly in the power of prayer. He used to, every Tuesday evening, with his sister Kathleen and about 20 or so others, used to gather in there in that room, used to be the choir vestries, now the church office, to pray. And I think one of the reasons why John had such confidence that God could change things through prayer, because he had witnessed what it looked like whenever human beings tried their best and it didn't look pretty. But God still turned up in power because he's a gracious God. John's sister Kathleen is the oldest member of our church family. She's 101. And the privilege of seeing her in December and praying with her, and I know that a team from our church go regularly to see Kathleen, and she is much more a blessing to us than we could be. She's a wonderful woman of faith, and at 101, she is crystal clear in her mind. She knows more about what's happening in public affairs and in what's happening in the news than I have any idea of. And a wonderful woman, a delight to go and see her. And so John and Kathleen used to lead this prayer meeting. And after years and years of that ministry and John sharing his faith, and he used to help lead services and speak, we decided, because he was in his 80s, and we thought, let's celebrate something of John's life now. He'd done 35 years as a preacher, as a Dawson lay reader here. And so we thought, to mark the end of that, we'll have this big celebration service. And people came from far and wide. And I remember there were hundreds of people gathered in the church here. This is before the fire. There was lots of wood. And gathered together. And I remember there were a lot of men came from up Lurgan direction. And some of them would speak to me afterwards and say, my life has been shaped through the prayers and witness of that quiet, humble man, John Bate, because he was a very quiet man. Often today we think that the people who make the big difference are maybe are extroverts or people who are loud. But God works through people who pray. And John Bateman was a very quiet man who prayed. And God used him powerfully. I remember a man coming up to me and saying how John still prayed for these people. And I remember two men came up to me outside the church after the service and said, John taught us over 30 years ago. He still sends us Bible study notes 4 times a year and a letter to tell us that he's praying for us. There were MLAs, there were leaders in business and all sorts of things, and they came to say, God changed my life through the prayers of that man. And really, in this book, Luke and Acts, it's sort of two halves of a book written by Dr. Luke, and we read this morning a chapter from Acts. It's at the heart of it is, how do we enter into what God is doing? And one of the primary answers in the book is, try praying. If you want to be part of what God is doing, then try praying. And Cornelius was a Roman officer, a God-fearing, devout man, and he and all of his household were like that. He gave generously to the poor, and he prayed regularly to God. And I think there's probably a hint that as Cornelius was entering into a time of prayer, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he had a vision. And he saw an angel of God coming to him and saying, Cornelius. And Cornelius was filled with terror. He stared at the angel and said, what is it, sir? And then the angel spoke to him. We have this picture sometimes as angels, as little sort of chubby cherubim that we see in stained glass windows, but actually Scripture shows us that angels are real beings, heavenly beings, and they are powerful. Whenever people encounter angels, the color tends to drain from their face. And this was a hardened soldier. This was a centurion, a Roman soldier in an army which was known for its brutality. He was no shrinking violet, and yet when he came face to face in a vision with an angel, Cornelius was utterly terrified. He was all ears. What do you want me to do? And the angel said, your prayers and gifts to the poor have been received by God as an offering. Now send some men to Joppa and summon a man named Simon Peter. He's staying with Simon a tanner who lives near the seashore. I wonder if one of the reasons why Jesus Christ chose Cornelius was because he was a Roman soldier. He knew what it was like to get orders and give orders. And so Cornelius doesn't hesitate to obey. He acts immediately. He receives orders from God and he gives orders. And he calls together two of his servants and a devout Roman soldier, and he gives them orders to go and find this man, Simon Peter. Soon after this, Peter too is praying, this Simon Peter. And he's up on the flat roof of a house in Joppa. And he falls into a trance. He's in such a deep place of prayer that he falls into this trance, this the spiritual state where everything else in the world goes dim. And he's in the presence of God. And he has a vision. And in the vision, God says to him, basically, God has no favorites. God doesn't actually say that, but Simon Peter works out what he's saying. He says, I haven't just come for the Jewish people, I've come for everybody. So let's put the dietary requirements of eating certain foods to the side, because in Christ, God has made all things clean, all things new. And God is saying, I've come for everybody. I've even come for the people, the Roman soldiers, who have been killing your countrymen. One of the things that God sometimes does, and this sort of shows just his heart for reconciliation and deep community, is that so often he calls us, as it were, to cross the boundaries, to cross the room, as it were, and to connect with people that we wouldn't often connect with, that we find it difficult to connect with, that we may feel we have something against. And isn't that so common in our world, where there are people who either we set ourselves up against them or they set themselves up against us? And here was Simon Peter being called to go to the house of a Roman officer who may well have been in places where Jewish people had been killed. And Peter goes. Because as he said, when he's talking to them, there is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. And when he hears why he's being called there, he starts to tell people about Jesus. And he says, they put him to death by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him to life on the third day. And then he gets to the really heart of the gospel, and he says, everyone who believes in Jesus will have their sins forgiven through his name. And as he was speaking, the Holy Spirit fell on all who were listening to his message. Recently, we've experienced a lot of powerful windstorms, like Chandra. And obviously, we've seen what are the negative consequences of powerful winds. And we know them, we've seen them. But actually, powerful winds do something which are vital ecologically for us as a planet. If we didn't have them, we would have a much poorer ecosystem in the world. So one of the things they do is they break up forest canopies. They make holes in the forest roof so sunlight can come down through, and so the plants down below that haven't had much of a chance can start to grow. So one of the effects of strong winds is it starts up new life. Another thing that strong winds do is that they carry seeds to destinations that they would never get to. And so the biodiversity that happens because of storms is incredible. We sometimes wonder, well, how do plants get to that island? And the answer is because, boy, there was a storm. And that storm carried the seeds to that place. And biodiversity sprung up. And you know, it's the same with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, he is powerful. And when he comes, new life springs up. And the seeds of the kingdom of God go to places where they wouldn't otherwise get to because of the power of the Holy Spirit. And God sends us to places that we didn't expect that we'd go to. And certainly that was the case, I imagine, for Simon Peter, going to Joppa and going into the home of a Roman centurion. All his life, he'd never gone in to a Gentile home. And now he was crossing barriers and borders, because that's part of what God does whenever he calls us to join him in his work. So during this month and next month, we're talking about life in the Spirit. What does it look like? when we say, Jesus, I believe and trust in you. I believe that you are God in the flesh, that you came to take away our guilt and our shame and our disappointment and give us life that's worth living here and now and give us life that's worth living beyond the grave, a resurrected life in a new heaven and a new earth with resurrection bodies. Part of the creed that we said earlier on was, I believe in the resurrection of the dead. It's in the last part of the creed. We weren't talking about the body of Jesus because we've already talked about that in the second part of the creed. The last part of the creed is about your body and my body. That we believe that in Christ, resurrection has happened and it's going to repeat for every person who trusts in Jesus Christ. There is going to be a new and good future in a new heaven and a new earth with new resurrection bodies. That's why we sing praise to God, because we believe the best is yet to come. And in a world which is so volatile, which is so unsafe, is that not good news? But Jesus also makes life worth living now. What are we to do with the disappointments of our lives, the broken relationships, the missed opportunities, the sicknesses, the bereavements, the shortness of life? What are we to do about these things? By ourselves, we can do nothing. But Jesus Christ came to fulfill every longing in our heart. And one of our longings is for fullness of life now, glorious living. And one of our longings is for eternity. Unlike every other creature in creation, we long for something beyond death. And we are restless until we find it. Well, it can be found in Jesus Christ. And that's the message that Simon Peter gives. But as he's given that message, the presence of God, the Holy Spirit comes. And we talked last week that the Jewish people have been waiting for this for generations. They've been waiting. We talked last week about the river of God, the vision of Ezekiel, and the temple, and living water flowing out, and the fact that God has called us to be like jugs of water, not called us to be like buckets, that just say, Lord, bless me, fill me, fill me. Those are good prayers. Fill me up, bless me. But we're not to be like a bucket. We're to say, Lord, fill me up like a jug. So that I'll be like living water, and as you've poured your love into me, I can pour out my love that comes from you in the lives of other people. That's why we baptized Joseph today in that understanding and faith. Because we believe that God has poured out his love into the hearts of his mom and dad, into the hearts of us as the community of Christ, and that we too will pour out our love on Joseph and all the other children and all the other adults, and not just those who are here, but in this city and beyond. So in these weeks about how do we live life in the Spirit, the short answer is that life comes as we give it away. For the glory of God in Jesus Christ and for the people around us. And as we do that, as we get filled up with a tap of the Holy Spirit, as we pour out, it's a continuous process. And we are refreshed and nourished in the process. We were always meant to be nourished and refreshed by living water, running water. Not by a bucket that gets filled and just sits there. So the short answer of how do I be filled with the Holy Spirit? How do I encounter God? How do I live in the joy and presence of God? The answer is, well, follow in the footsteps of the person, Jesus, who who just gave it all away. Because in that, there is forgiveness and there is new life. So I want to encourage us as a family of God to pray for more of the power of the Holy Spirit. Because the Spirit is powerful. And to discover the truth that Christ said is more blessed to give than to receive. Because it is in giving that we receive. It's in being a conduit for God's grace that we ourselves are refreshed and nourished. It was what the Jewish people were always called to be. It's why Christ came to fulfill that call for the Jewish people and to call us to be church and to do His will. And I want to encourage us that as we do that and pray for more of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we will expect the supernatural. Because if that Bible passage shows us anything, it shows us the fact that our God is a supernatural God. That He can do things that just blow our mind. So when we invite the Holy Spirit to come and refresh us, don't be surprised if things happen that you think, whoa, what was that? I know some of us, whenever we've been prayed for, you know, the primary thing, and the thing that God primarily does is He pours out His love into our hearts. And that we know that we are loved as children of God. And sometimes when that happens, we feel a warmth, we feel a glow. We feel a peace that passes understanding. Sometimes it's so powerful that we shake. We jolt. Growing up in our household, there was sometimes a bit of a joke. Daddy's in his prayer time because he's in the other room on the floor and he's jolting. The fact is, whenever we invite the Holy Spirit every day into our lives, we should expect that, like Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 10, we should expect that God is a part. He's a God of visions. He's a God of peace. He's a God of love. He's a God who could equip us to do things that we never dreamed of. And that's what God wants to do in all of our lives in Jesus Christ. Just to let go and let God. As we said over recent weeks and months as well, and over the years, God is also a God who heals physically, emotionally, spiritually. And so sometimes when we ask the Holy Spirit, and this is the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of gentleness, the Spirit of love to come, then tears flow, tears of healing, as God does healing in here, in our lives. So I want to encourage us to be people who seek to live by the power of God, by the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And I also want us to be really encouraged by the fact that God is on the move in a powerful way in this nation and in this city and in this church. There's been a lot of surveys done over the course of the last year about the new thing God is doing. And one of the things God is doing is that He's causing people to just turn up a church and say, I am dissatisfied with the world and I want to know about this person, Jesus. And we're seeing that more and more here, and it's happening more and more throughout the United Kingdom. And the group that is happening among more than any other group are young men in their 20s. And we're seeing it all the time here. Young men and women turning up and saying, my life without God has no meaning. Help me find meaning. And one of the other really interesting things is that there is a new supernatural move of God. So one of the surveys by the Evangelical Alliance said that it used to be that there were very rarely stories of big supernatural encounters for human beings who were out in society, outside the church. The survey in 2025 said that 28% of the people who came to follow Jesus Christ had in the months or years before an encounter with God that they couldn't explain. And so they turned up at church and said, basically, what happened? What happened? I had a powerful encounter with the supernatural. What happened? Another thing is that Bible sales in the United Kingdom in recent years have increased by 87%. And the reason is because people are saying, there's such fake news out there, I don't know what you can trust anymore. And so Bible sales have gone through the roof. So I want to say, be encouraged, because people are hungry for God. And you and I know Him. We have met Him. So let's have a fresh confidence. So to summarize, I think it might be a couple of wee things at the end here. One is to trust God, trust Jesus, to be baptized if you've never been baptized, to be confirmed if you're a baptized child, have never gone through an opportunity to say, I believe in Jesus. If you want to know God or find out more about God, then the best place to start is try praying. Come to church as well. Read the Bible. And go with God, because God has a plan for your life which is beyond your imagination. It's exciting. It's fulfilling. It's filled with love. It's filled with peace. And it's one in which brokenheartedness and disappointment and guilt and shame are washed away. So we stand together. We're going to sing our last song. And perhaps in a moment of silence, you would like to say, Lord, I'd like more of what I've seen and heard today. And so I just invite you in a moment of quietness, whether it's for the first time or for the thousandth time, to say, Lord, here I am. Take me just as I am. Lord, show me. Show me that you're real. Let's have a quiet conversation with God. Lord, today we have baptized Joseph because we believe that you have an adventure for him that will bring joy to his life that nothing else can do. That will bring joy to your heart, Lord, and to other people like nothing else can do. So, Lord, bless him as he follows Jesus. Bless us as we follow Jesus. And, Lord, shake the world for good. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing. Lord, we thank you. You have no favorites. That you love every single one of us. You have a plan for every one of our lives. And Lord, we thank you that you love us this way in Jesus Christ. Lord, send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. And Lord, all this we ask in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Opportunity for prayer over here with the prayer team. Some photographs here perhaps for Joseph and the family. And tonight at 7 o'clock in King's, we've got the city chaplaincy is being commissioned, a new team, part of the new thing God is doing. You might want to travel from the car park here at 6:40 or else to meet down in King's and Seacliff Road at 7 o'clock and also see their fantastically renovated building. Exciting times to see that team commissioned to go out into Bangor. And also as well, there's leaflets there about Pathway, about really a structure of how do I get closer to God. And there's a structure for that. We meet together on the 7th of March on that Saturday morning. So I encourage you to be part of that. God bless you. Lovely to see you.